Praise the name of the Lord. How many have the victory this morning? Praise God. I have a very practical message in the Sunday school hour this morning. It's, you know, Jesus brought a sermon on the mount. And if you read through the sermon that Job brought, I'm looking at a reference here in Job, that Jesus brought, you'll find it was a very practical message on day-to-day Christian living. And I want to say that it's not enough to have the grace of God upon you and to feel loved by God and experience His love. At this particular hour, and I'm thrilled what God is doing, we are experiencing the love of God, beginning to move into the love of God. And I want to say that as we're moving more and more into His love, loving Him and receiving His love, we cannot dump practical Christian living. It is not enough. Everything else is now passé and we're moving on to something different. We never leave the basic truths of the Scriptures. And it's important that we not only enter by faith into a love relationship with Him, a real deep, intimate love relationship, but we also live holy lives down here below. And with that in mind, this morning, I am speaking on a subject that I've entitled, Where, O Where, Has Integrity Gone? And I would like you to really consider this message, because it's going to implicate a lot of people here this morning. And it's good to be implicated if there is a way out. And if it brings us to a place where we will take that way out, and then we'll come up higher, then it will have been good that we have been convicted and moved higher. Isn't that right? And so I want you to come to grips with this. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. And if you are found waiting, if you've been weighed in the balances this morning and found wanting, then repent before the Lord and make a decision to walk with all integrity. Amen? I would like you to stand. We would like to pray that the seeds of this message will not fall to the ground and lay on hard pan soil and allow the birds of the air to fly them away. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you this. It is so important, and I'm so excited about what's happening right now. It's so important that we deal with every area of our life that is not right with God. And that we examine every area of our life, and that with that examination, we might continually step up higher in a walk of holiness before God. Where has integrity gone? You know, once a man's word was worth his life. In England in the 16th, 17th, 18th century, it was not uncommon for people to give their word, officer, I'll promise you I won't escape. Even enemies, they said, I'll give you my word, I won't escape. Now, you know, you can never do that today. You know, they laugh you to scorn. But so great was their idea of themselves, and I admit they had a huge English pride and so forth, but nonetheless, they gave a word and they wouldn't break it for anything. Because that was them, that was their reputation. Their reputation meant something to them. Now, I don't mean everybody and everybody in the rabble, but I mean there were those people and had certain distinctions and feelings of worth. I mean, and they felt like, I am not going to break my word. What will people think about me? That feeling is pretty much gone in the world today. The idea of laying your right hand upon the Bible and taking an oath upon it was that a man so revealed the truths of God and God himself and God's punishment that he would never put his hand upon God's word and tell a lie. But today it means nothing. Put their hands in the Bible and lie, lie, lie. They care not a straw about the word of God. I think it's high time that the Christian church come to grips with our integrity. The Bible speaks much about our integrity. It's important to God. In Proverbs chapter 11, in verse 3, we read, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them." The integrity of the upright shall guide them. If you're guided by integrity, you'll have a good name and you'll do things right. But the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Those who transgress will not maintain integrity, but are perverse, will find themselves destroyed by their very own lack of integrity, their perverseness. There was a time when gas caps had no locks. Nobody siphoned gas. Now you dare not leave your car any place, hardly, without gas caps. Houses were commonly left unlocked. You talk to the older generation, they say, "Oh, we never locked our houses, day or night." Today you can't, you got to lock them, double lock them, triple lock them, warning devices, big dogs, and then you got trouble. They used to leave cabins furnished with food out in the mountains unlocked in case travelers came through. My father tells in his day how they did that, and they all, and everybody repaid. My father and I, in fact, we were in a snowstorm up in the mountains and couldn't get out and couldn't get back and came to a cabin. It was open. When I was a boy, we went in, helped ourselves, made ourselves a pancake breakfast, took those stuff out of those shelves, made all the breakfast and everything, washed the dishes, put money back in the cupboard for it. This was the way it used to be. You can't trust that hardly anymore. TV, movies have destroyed integrity. They have constantly showed the hero robbing a bike, driving away laughing. Ha, 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 this is wonderful. They didn't care who they smeared in the way. Lying has been taught on television. Admiral Rickover, who spent 60 years in the Navy, at the age of 83, his advice was, smash the television. And he's not even a Christian. In Proverbs, this just came out a couple of weeks ago, in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." Because you see, they then learn integrity from their parents, and then they don't have to go to reform school and jail and prisons and get in trouble with the law and get arrested and have all kinds of problems in their life and problems with the teachers and whippings, all them, because they have integrity. They tell the truth. I was brought up to tell the truth. We all have come under temptations. We all have sinned. I remember a time when I stole something. When I was a boy, I was downtown and I wanted a baseball. I didn't have the money, and I was in a Woolworth store, and there was baseballs, and the devil was pushing me to steal a baseball. And there were two types of baseballs. One was something like 69 cents, this money was worth more in those days, and one was something like $1.98. I stole the cheaper one, which sounds stupid. As long as you're going to steal, might as well steal the best. But I knew it was wrong in my heart. And all I wanted was a ball. And I didn't want to steal something very valuable. My conscience was working on me. And as I left with that ball, and it's the only time I ever remember stealing anything, All the way home, my conscience bothered me, about a mile and a half. And I got home and turned around and walked all the way back and put that ball back in the counter. I couldn't rest until I put that ball back. And I've made up my mind a long time ago that I was never going to cheat or steal. And I have found wallets with money on them, in them, $45 in one case and quite a bit in another case. And I can't remember how much and other things. And people have paid me back too much. And I've always made it a point. I will never take anything that is not mine. I've settled that a long time. It's important that we have integrity. There's a constant lying in our newspapers. Constant lying. And I mean a constant lying, and I'm not exaggerating. There's a magazine that I get called AIM, and its aim is to point out the constant lying in the press and constant willful misrepresentation of, for example, President Reagan will say certain things, and then the New York Times, for example, will publish a report on what he said. And then AIM will come out and give a report on what he said, and right below it give a report on what the New York Times said he said, which were two different things, constantly misrepresenting the facts. As a matter of fact, when we had to do a little bit of work before the magistrates downhill for this property, and the dissidents about us were fighting us hard to keep us off of this property we had bought from building a church hill. The newspaper, one of the newspapers, totally misrepresented all the facts. Total distortion. As a matter of fact, we had, there was a PI editor. He was the PI religious editor. Visited the old chapel, wrote a report on us, and a whole series of short paragraphs, and every single statement was wrong. He made not one statement, general statement that was right. Every paragraph was wrong, all down the line. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He quoted me as saying things that somebody else said, and he misrepresented every single thing that there was. It is very common. I was in a place one time down in Nampa. We had a health club, a judo and massage and various things. We had a masseuse we hired, and this reporter came in to make a write-up. And he said, how long have you been in the massage business? He said, 7 years. And the reporter said, did you say nine? And another fellow with him, he said, I think he said 12. And he said, oh, 14? Well, I'll put on 15. It didn't make any difference what the truth was. Put on any old thing they want. Make it sound good. Here is a newspaper article. Washington, Attorney General William French Smith charged yesterday that politically motivated civil rights leaders, aided by irresponsible journalism, have falsely portrayed the Reagan administration's civil rights record to create hostility among minority Americans toward the government. This is said by the Attorney General. Where has integrity gone? And here's another article. Associated Press. U.S. lawyers. Now, this first sentence may not have been actually what was said, because I don't trust the newspapers. Thereafter, he quotes, and I'll tell you when he puts it in quotations. I suspect that the first paragraph is not accurate. I suspect they have used some, they call it editorial license. They should be putting them in jail, in my judgment, but I suspect they have left off the qualifications, is what I suspect. But anyway, U.S. lawyers are uncivilized and American courts are overcrowded because people immediately sue when they cannot settle their differences. Supreme Court Chief Justice Warren Burger says. Then here's the quotation. In their highest role, lawyers should be the healers of conflicts. But too many act more like warriors eager to do battle and healers seeking peace, Burger said, Friday and so forth. I'm speaking portions of this. Lawsuits ought to be the last resort, like war, he said. More than 25 million lawsuits are filed each year, more than in any other country. We desperately need a generation of lawyers and law teachers who understand that access to justice does not invariably mean access to the courtrooms. I regret to say that civility is in short supply in our courtrooms, he said. Berger called on the Law Center to lead the way toward a more honorable and more effective profession. Now, in no way am I, and I'm sure he isn't either, trying to implicate all lawyers. There are Christian lawyers who have high integrity, and I trust the integrity of the lawyers in this place. But let me tell you Christian lawyers something. You should not fall under the same trap as some have in racism and try to defend your profession and as though nobody should say anything against your profession, as though they should all be clean. I don't try to protect the entire ministerial profession. You can't think about my profession when I get up hurt. See, I realize that there's a lot of worms in the ministerial profession, and there's lots of worms in the lawyer profession. And that doesn't mean all ministers are bad or all lawyers are bad. And we've got to understand that. But then, that should make people want to go to Christian lawyers, spirit-filled lawyers, so they can trust them. Wherever there's sin, there is worms in the profession. But the thing that there is not the integrity there should be. As a matter of fact, the Christian Legal Defense and Education Foundation implicates judges, not all judges, of course, and says the judges who are supposed to, you know, follow the laws of the land, the thing they're really worrying about and is troubling them is that they are digressing at will, it seems, from the Constitution and the laws of the land whenever they have strong political feelings about something, and because they know they can get away with it, they just seem to wave away that which has been established as precedent and the foundation of the laws and make judgments in accordance with what they want. And it's causing a lot of problems and consternation because you can't trust in the law courts to follow the Constitution. A National Organization for Women sued over teachers' pensions. You see, the men put so much in a pot, and the women put so much in the pot for their pensions, and then because they want to give them the same dollar amount. And because women live a little longer than men on an average, they give women a little less per year, so that it will equal out to the same dollar amount. Well, the Women's National Organization for Women sued, and the courts ruled in favor of the women. But, and you know, one of their statements, and there's some, you know, reason for this, one of the statements was, well, every woman doesn't live longer than men, you know, so I'm getting less per year, and then maybe I'll die earlier than some others. Well, anytime you're working on pensions, nobody knows how long anybody's going to live, you know, men or women. But then it was said, well, now if this is happening, then there's a lot of other things. This is going to set precedence for some other things. For example, women pay less insurance for under 25 years old for automobiles liability than men do. And because they don't have so many hot rodders trying to see how fast they can go around corners and end up in somebody's shrubbery. And so but all men don't drive like, you know, speed demons under 25 years old. And so when women learned that these women learned that they were going to have to pay more for insurance, that's unfair. That's unfair. See, they went all one way. In other words, it's total subjectivism. This National Organization for Women is a total one-way street. There's total lack of integrity in the statements. It's not fairness. See, they preach fairness. But within, it's anything but fairness. And this thing we have so many of these kind of lobbyists who, they don't care about fairness. It's only what they get out of it. It's dog eat dog, is what it amounts to, if you used to say. and is teaching the people, from the very leaders and all the others in these great organizations that is great in size, are living and showing and teaching lack of integrity. And the whole nation has been thoroughly brainwashed with how to live, lack of integrity. The so-called civil rights movement started on saying it is unfair and unethical and morally wrong to hire by color. But now they are insisting they hire by color, and they don't care who they discriminate against to get the color in. It's color. We should have a woman for president. We should have a black for president. We should have an Indian for president. Why? Why? For what reason should a woman, a black, an Indian, a white, or anybody else be a president? Why should we have somebody with skin color be president? Why should somebody who has a certain sex be president? We don't need a president according to sex. That isn't the idea. That won't help anything. Instead of basing things, see, because they've got no integrity. They're not looking for the best leader. They're not looking for the one who's best to put over an organization. They're on a different bandwagon. Lack of integrity has invaded all of American life. Television ads. Are they believable? Do they have integrity? Some little cartoon comes out and tells you this is the best, and they lie about it, and magic right in front of your face. Yeah, that means the total lack of integrity. Do they claim anything and everything? Magazine ads. You ever look in the back of a magazine? 10 minutes a day? You know? You can be built like a gorilla in 6 weeks. You can go from the shape of a beach ball to a coat rack, you know, in a few weeks by this simple little, you know, wearing this little suit, you know. I mean, the stupidest things imaginable. You know, you can go from Twiggy to Jane Mansfield's older sister in 2 weeks by, you know, it's ridiculous. They claim anything. Total lack of integrity. Diets. Almost all diets promulgated on the American scene are unsound, and the claims are misleading. If anybody ever came up with a sound diet, they'd never sell it. And the top nutritionists, and I know what I'm talking about, the top nutritionists, we've read over and over again by doctors and top nutritionists what the sound diet is, and nobody wants it. They want a gimmick, and they're out here. The health food manufacturers, you can throw your eggs if you will, but you're going to have to answer before God, constantly lie and constantly distort the facts. And that is the absolute truth, and I have spent years checking it out. And I've got tons of data to support it, including I have gone down to the FDA, and I have looked through their records on arrests made. Hundreds of arrests. Thousands of arrests, page after page after page after page, where the people were taken to court who made these big claims, and they had not one stitch of clinical evidence. They had nothing. In fact, I have a good rapport with a dietitian at the Washington State Dairy Association, and because she could get facts better than I can, she wrote to a milk jet company and asked them for the clinical data to support their claims. And they wrote back a letter which she sent back to me, and I saw it, and it said, we've got no data whatsoever. These places don't need data. They make plenty of money off of claims because people are so naive. She told me, this dietitian, said, when I went to nutrition school, how many have heard of Adele Davis's books? Okay, almost everybody. It's documented, right? Lots of documentation. She said, our assignment in nutrition school, one of our assignments was to go through each state of documentation and check the documentation. And we found that case after case after case, she misrepresented in her documentation. And I have a book now on order that gives the details of Adele Davis twisting the documentation, making it to read something that it doesn't say. Lack of integrity. Let me give you a few examples. Raw sugar. It says so right on the package, raw sugar. That's for those who have been brainwashed to think that processed sugar is wrong, is bad, which it isn't. Raw sugar, and I've talked to the chemists at the sugar industry, raw sugar is processed sugar. It is against the law in the United States to sell raw sugar. It is loaded with impurities. It is unsafe. And so what they do is they order raw sugar. And so what they order, so we can't sell it to them. So what they ask for is processed sugar. You put a little bit of molasses back in it to make it brown. And then in some cases, depending on this yellow D sugar and other raw sugars, they're not cut in the same way. They take inert ingredients like the cane and chop it up into fine fibers and introduce it back into the sugar so it has a feeling more of raw sugar, and the crystallization is made to be more like raw sugar. So people think they're getting raw sugar and they call it raw sugar. You ever turn around and read in the back of it to keep from being thrown in prison, it lets you know that, at least ones I've read, that it's not really raw sugar. But this lack of integrity. Bible bread sold by the health food stores. And so they go to the book. People say, oh, Bible bread. Bible bread? I mean, if it comes from Bible, you know, it must really be nutritious. But over in the book of Ezekiel, as most of you all know, that's why you're laughing, is God, through Ezekiel, told Judah, who was in Babylon, because of their sins, and because they refused to hear Jeremiah, and they refused to hear Ezekiel, that he was going to put them under such judgment that they were going to be unable to find food. And they were going to have to scrape and go from field to field to field, get a little wheat hill, a little bit of spelt hill, a little bit of barley hill, a little bit of rye hill, and take it together just to get enough to make a little bit of bread, and then they're going to have to cook it over dung, over their own dung, to get some fire. And it's called the bread of affliction. And so they call it Ezekiel 3:14, or whatever it is, bread, Bible bread. Total lack of integrity, trying to make the people think it must be more nutritious because it's Bible bread. See? When it's actually inferior. And in fact, they have launched a big fight. They're trying to get everybody to fight the FDA until lots and lots of people in America think the FDA is a bad organization. I'll tell you, if we ever lose the FDA, we're in trouble. Deep trouble. You've read what I've read out there. They say it's a jungle out there. They have to say how much rat's hair is allowed in food. How much of this type of thing and so forth. The manufacturers do anything for money. Even starting back with James Barclay, who put yellow sand from them up in the Great Lakes area into baby pablum to stretch it, and several babies died, and they finally got him on that one. They do anything to make money, and the only thing that's helping is the FDA, and the only real problem is there's not enough people to staff the FDA to get rid of all the liars and all the charlatans and everybody else. That's one of the problems. What we need to do is about quadruple it. Instead of sending all our monies to Poland and to Brazil, we need to put it into the FDA so they can protect the American public. Fortunately, we've got that, or we would be in a real mess in this country of food. But the people are being lied about constantly because the health food manufacturers don't like the FDA because they're telling the truth on them. They're letting the people know that they are not deficient in vitamins and minerals. It's a lie that almost 100% of all vitamins anybody takes goes into the sewer. As a matter of fact, before you ever take the vitamin pill, you already are loading vitamins into the sewer. Your body cannot take it all. And you buy the bottle, 100% of everything you buy is going out the sewer. None goes into the body. And they're constantly saying, well, this is more nutritious than this because this has got more than this. It doesn't make a bit of difference. It's all going in the sewer anyway. You've already got more than you need for the day. And they play all this game like empty calories. See? I mean, empty, it's calories with empty nutrition. Doesn't make any difference. It's all the rest is going in. But people don't like that. And they have run on the bottles. They claim higher rates needed than what the FDA claims. Because they want people to take more, so they sell more. Everything is the almighty dollar, lack of integrity. If you want to know where the problem is in America, it's not in lack. It is not, and I've done loads of study on this, it's not in lack of vitamins, it's not lack of minerals, and it's not in processed food. The biggest problem is lack of calcium. Because everybody's, all the women are dieting, all drinking Coke and tea, and they're not getting enough milk products. And that's where the big problem is. They checked at Vassar Women's College. That's the only problem they found with all those women is lack of calcium. Because none of them are drinking milk. None of them are having dairy products. They all want a little skinny waist. And so they're all Cokes and coffee and tea and all this type of thing. And they lack. They should be taking, if they want to live that way, fine. They should be taking calcium tablets. That's what they should be. That's what the problem is. That's the big problem. Now, here, for example, is an article in the magazine. This liberal states, they state a problem. And then they do a lot of joking about it. I won't read you the joking, you know. But they always want to joke about every problem. But they say, but according to psychologist Gerald Jellison of the University of Southern California at Los Angeles, and others concerned with the American way of lying, see, admitting, the rest of us wander around bending the truth at the rate of 50 times a day. They're estimating that people are lying at an average of 50 times a day per person. The check's in the mail, he claims. We say, I gave it the office. We simply must get together for lunch soon. And all these other constantly lying, lack of integrity. Lying is a communistic ideology. The communists believe in lying. I mean, they state they believe in lying. It's part of their program. They have nothing wrong with lying. They are not Christians. They have no Christian moral ethics at all. They're atheists. And lies to further communism is perfectly acceptable. In fact, it's needed. This is why it's folly to do business with the communists as the liberals insist we do. All you've got to do is look at the record and see that all the business we have done has only helped them and hurt the Western world. We should have never had the United Nations, never had anything to do with the communist nations at all. We should have totally boycotted them and given no aid to anybody to do any business with them, and we should have totally insisted on that throughout the world and had nothing to do with them. Otherwise, it's like sitting down and writing a contract with the mafia. It is way just as much. JFK, President Kennedy, I still remember when he was debating with Nixon for office, said, the communists have broken treaties 587 times in Korea alone. And I will never allow the American public to ever have a disarmament without electronic black boxes to make sure that in Russia they do their job, etc., etc. And then he stopped all American production of atomic warfare for 2 years, but the communists did a heavy buildup. At the end of the time, they exploded more megaton in one day than we had in all of our history, and stabbed in the back. He already, by his own admission, knew that they were liars. They have been lying from the beginning. They broke every treaty. They broke SALT treaty. They broke every treaty they've ever made, practically. And why anybody still wants to do business with them is more than I can understand, except on the demonic level. Lying has become an American practice. Everybody's doing it, so to speak. Lying is common among Christians. Lying is common among Christians. And I mean charismatic, Pentecostal, fundamental, and evangelical Christians, as well as the other old lying denominational churches. They think nothing about lying anymore. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 9, we read this. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. See, they had a problem in that day. And Paul had to write to the church of Colossae and say, don't lie to one another. Because it's common for them to want to do so. Lying builds mistrust in your mate, and it ends up worse than what you were covering up. And they don't have trust in you anymore. Lying tears down your testimony. Lying ruins your credibility. Lying opens us up to demons who extend the pressure of lying till the truth is no longer important. And this affects paying attention to God's truth too then. You see, if you are not insistent upon accuracy, then that very lack of insistence on accuracy will lead you to a place where you cannot be careful in your own mind to insist on accuracy you receive. In other words, it will not be so important to you whether it's true or not. It leaves you open for subjectivism. I want, and therefore I talk according to what I want. Alibi, alibi, rationale, rationale, until your heart is desperately deceitful, and who can know it? Because you lie to yourself consistently about things until you got it hidden, until you don't know your own heart, because you don't mind lying. And when you lie to others, you lie to yourself. And pretty soon, you'll lie in the formation of the gifts of the Spirit. The Lord told me this, and I saw this. You embellish, 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 in order to make yourself feel like I am more spiritual. I'm coming up in the ranks. Lie, lie, lie. Then what's going to happen? Somebody else find out about this, or somebody that doesn't buy it because they can see holes in it, and then you're stumbling people. Like one of the things that happened in Edward Irving's day, when the Irvingites began to receive the Holy Spirit, one of the ladies admitted that she, at home, she was practicing prophesying at home, and she was one of the several trusted ones or prophets. What then did it do to others about what was true when they found one person who admitted lack of integrity and lying in the things of God? Lying leaves you without armor on your loins. It leaves an area of your life the devil can get into. It leaves you open for lying spirits to lie to your mind and deceive you. And you're more susceptible because you have been invited in lying spirits. And now you are susceptible to lying spirits telling you things because you invited them in. What do you think of a minister that lies? What do you think of a Christian that lies? Why should you think highly of a Christian that lies and not highly of a minister that lies? We can't lie just because we don't like to tell the truth, friends. We can't lie because we don't like to tell the truth. There are a lot of things in life we don't like. We've got to face up to some things. And one of them is called integrity and truth. We must learn to say things discreetly, omitting things that hurt, and bringing in positive things that apply. We must not lie because it's work to think, and it's work to learn. And there's a lot of people, they get hurt, and as soon as they get hurt, they start lying. As soon as they get hurt, they lie against the other person, because they're hurt. This is terrible. This is the result of listening to watching television, learning lying, and then passing it on. Oh, it's a pretty good program. They don't have adultery or murder. How about the lying part? My friends, if you let your children, those little children you've dedicated to the Lord Jesus, you let them watch that sinkhole from hell, from Hollywood, you are destroying your children. And letting that stuff come into the home from Hollywood, and you are guilty for their hurt. And the demons that come into their life. We must learn to say nothing at times rather than lie. We have got to bolster up and face fast and learn how to deal with the situations where you don't want to tell people things. Now, of course, we do not owe people words to their hurt. You don't owe somebody, you have an awful big nose. You are fat. See, and you should teach your children not to say things like that. Don't let them blab off anything that they see in their eyeballs. We have no scriptural mandate to tell all. It is not true that if you don't tell all, you have lied. Not at all. We have a right to remain silent. Jesus didn't tell all. But we don't have grounds to lie. Now, suppose you lie to a friend so they won't get hurt. This practice will eventually find you out. And then your friend will not only be hurt, but they won't trust you anymore. And then they'll tell others you lied. And this will hurt you, your reputation. You get a reputation of being a liar. Then it's not worth it. We all know people who lie to us with a big smile on their face and don't know that we know that they're lying. That doesn't do them any good, does it? Learn to phrase things diplomatically, saying no more than you want to say. You own your mouth. Don't say any more than you want, but don't lie. Rephrase your own answers so as to avoid the direct question and say what you want. They ask you one thing, you come back and answer it the way you feel like answering it and avoid what you don't want to say. Don't let them intimidate you. You don't have to answer directly what they say. You answer the way you want to say it. That'll solve that problem. Never feel obligated to answer a question their way. Answer the way you want to. Decide that other people don't have a right to pry into your personal business. Decide that. And that you have no obligation to divulge your private business just because they ask. And there's no reason to allow others to put you in a place where you must sin by lying. Decide that you are not going to lie. I want you to decide that. Decide that right now. I am not going to lie. Decide you're not going to be intimidated. I will not be intimidated. And if you feel heavily intimidated, you run for deliverance. I want you to pray against that spirit of intimidation with me. And every day you keep coming against intimidation, until you're no longer intimidated. We have found people that take a strong stand against any particular thing, with others also praying against them, that thing will eventually go. Decide if others won't respect your desire for privacy, after you mention it, that you owe them nothing. Now, here's some possible answers. This is a private matter with me. To ask you a question. This is a private matter with me. I told you that it's a personal matter. I'm sorry, I don't give out private information. Let's talk about something else. To change the subject, and then change it and go into something else. Sure, do it. I mean, there's a lot of, I am amazed at the lack of, what's the word I want? Somebody help me. Common sense. People asking that, I'm amazed at the amount of, intestinal fortitude people have, say, they've got more crust than a bakery. And they want to, the questions they ask people, the nosiness of people. Want to know everything about everything you got and where and everything about you, none of the business. And so just say, to change the subject. And do change it. Get a little bit of intestinal fortitude. Put a little pipe in your back. Say, oh, Agnes, really? Or say, I beg your pardon. And then think, I beg your pardon. Just keep saying it. Sometimes just remaining silent is effective. Smile and say nothing. Often making a joke of it will just get it off out of the way. Some people are good at that. You know, like, did you dye your hair? No, it's still alive. Just keep joking with them. Never let them get you on the face. No, did you dye your hair? I want to know. No, I bought this hair from a pawn shop during a fire sale, you know. You know, just anything, see. Your hair looks red or you must have dyed it. No, it's just embarrassed that you're inquiring about it. No. See? Sure. Let them know. Or be evasive. How much did you pay for your dress? Just what I was willing to pay. How much was that? Enough that both the store and I were satisfied. How many dollars? Dollars? I paid 96,000 yen. I had a yen for the dress. You know, make a joke out of it. Keep kidding. Smile with every joke. They're not lying. They know it's a joke. You're not trying to deceive them. They know that. Or ask them, you know, who are you working for? The CIA? You know? Let me see your need-to-know pass. They press you, say, my lips are sealed. I'll die silent, you know. Don't tell them. Let them learn. You're not going to give them information that you don't want to give. Oh, we taught. How much are you getting paid for this story? How much are you dressed? How much are you getting paid for this story? No, tell me. No, you tell me. I'm serious. Me too. Tell me how much. You tell me how much. Okay. They pay me $500 for a story. How much did you pay? The same, $500. Coincidence, huh? You know? See? Don't tell them. Oh, they ask you a question, you say, shh. Just look. See? Sure. Come back on them. I neither ask nor tell. So just tell them. No comment. I mean, you own yourself. You don't owe them any time they ask you something. Don't lie. Something's better than lying. Tell them. I'll take the fifth on that. They say, well, I'm curious. Tell me. Say, try deliverance. No? Now, there are times that a situation demands an answer, and a serious one. You know, I mean, there's a difference between nosing in somebody else's business as a busybody and that which a person has a right to ask or a need to know. And those, of course, you want to answer them seriously. For example, it's presupposed in this particular case that you're not interested in what you ask. It's a serious question. It's not a nosy question. Would you like to go shopping with me Wednesday morning? And you really wouldn't. You can say, Wednesday morning, I'm going to a prayer meeting, if you are. See, whatever you're going to be doing. You don't have to say, no, I'm not interested. So you don't have to offend people. And they say, well, how about in the afternoon? You don't say, oh, I'd love to, but if you don't lie. How about in the afternoon? If you've got no legitimate excuse, don't lie. Just decide at that moment you're going to do something. And then just tell them that you've decided to do something else in the afternoon. And you have. You just decided. You have a right to decide right then if you want to. That's right. That's legitimate. That's not anything wrong with it. If they ask you to do something and you don't want to, and you decide you can do something else, you can tell them you've decided you have other plans. You can do that. That's better than lying. You can say, thanks for the invitation, but I have other plans. See? Or they say, well, how about sometime next week? Now, never agree and fail to show. That is totally, total lack of integrity. Never agree to something and fail to show. That is so bad. Never do such a thing. That's terrible. That puts you in a terrible space. It makes them unhappy. That's much worse than anything you could have said to them. Puts them in all kinds of frustration. It puts them out. They're waiting and waiting, and you never show up. That is terrible. Psalms 25, verse 21 says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. See, integrity and uprightness will preserve you. It will preserve you. It will keep you walking right and thinking straight and doing right and keep you from demons and keep you right before God, but the other will destroy you, will hurt you badly. Sometimes you may need to pick an evasive truth. It's all right to be evasive. That's your business. You may say, I prefer to shop alone. It's more efficient. Or I only shop with Nancy or Sue. We work efficiently together in shopping. Or thanks anyway. And just smile. Or see, I appreciate you asking me, but I think it would work out better if you asked someone else. If they insist, just say thanks anyway and smile. You don't have to lie. All this need for lying is false. The demons tell you there's a need to lie. There's no need to lie. You can say something else that's better than lying without lying. Find the politest way possible to decline. Now, let's take a case, for example. Let's suppose there's an antagonistic Catholic in-law, and he's pressing you, wanting to pick a fight with you. And he's an in-law, and you don't want to cause a problem. You're at their house, see, with your spouse. And this person is trying to pick a fight. And so he says, I'm not saying anything against Catholics here. This is just a hypothetical example. He says, I heard you're anti-Catholic. You don't have to say, yes, I am, so you won't lie. You'd say, no, I'm not. I'm not anti-Catholic. I heard you were. I am not anti-anyone. Aren't you against Catholicism? I am a Protestant. Doesn't that make you anti-Catholic? In about the same way as Catholic is anti-Protestant. Sure, always use the sword against them wherever you can. Well, I'm anti-Protestant. Well, that's good. Think about this country. Everyone's allowed his own belief and his own antagonisms. Don't you disagree with the Catholic doctrines? If I didn't, I'd be a Catholic. Why do you disagree? Now, if they're really honest and they want to know, tell them. Show them the scriptures and tell them. Because Catholicism does not align with the Word of God. There is no purgatory. There is no limbo. Mary sinned according to the scriptures. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not Mary. See? No, not one. The Bible doesn't say she was assumed into heaven sinless. The Bible didn't say anything about praying to saints or praying for Mary to lay her maternal commands upon the Son. She called her Son her Lord. Tell them. But if they're totally closed-minded and just want to make a scene, just say, I don't think it's profitable for us to discuss our differences. I think we're both committed to our beliefs, and it's best for us to just respect each other regardless of our differences. And if they retort and say, well, I don't respect you, just say, pardon me, but I think it's best we leave then. Sure. Do things right. Sometimes a person is an ingrate, and he won't take a hint, and he needs to be politely but firmly told the truth straight off without answering his question. And when you get a person like that, you just say, it is respectfully none of your business. Now, withholding information is not a lie. Jesus did it. He withheld information. If they misunderstand, it's still not a lie. Jesus said things he knew they would misunderstand, and he did not correct it or put it into a framework where they could understand it. He knew that they would think wrong about it. Now, nonetheless, it was the truth, and he did not worry about it. Take, for example, the huge example where he said, by eating his flesh and eating his blood, he could have explained that to them. He didn't want to explain it to them, so he didn't, and he knew they would misunderstand, and they left and went away because of the saying. He could have kept the crowd, but he wasn't a crowd pleaser. He wasn't there to keep the crowd. He wanted to lay a test before them. If they are going to leave him after all the miracles, all the proof that he had done into who he is and what he had been doing, because they did not understand something he said, then it's best that they leave, rather than trying to make it so they would stay. Sometimes it's better not to try to make somebody to stay. It's better to let them leave. But be careful about them thinking that you lied. You know, even though you don't have to tell them the truth and you can say something that's true, they might think that you lied And so you have to watch not to purposely stumble somebody. Think, and then think some more. You say, well, I'm not as clever as you. I don't know. Well, you think. You just think. You find a way or make a way not to lie. That's no excuse to lie because you're not a fast thinker on your feet. You find some way to just say no comment or smile or I don't wish to answer. You find some way to answer the question without lying. Be polite and always keep your motive to help. You know, do you want another piece of pie? And let's say you do, but there isn't enough to go around. So you can say no thanks anyway, because under the circumstances you don't want more pie. You really don't want more pie. You would want more pie if the situation was different, which it's not, that there was more pie. But you always deal with the circumstance as it is. And you can say, no, thanks anyway. You don't want more pie. That's why you're refusing it. You would like to have more pie, but not under these circumstances. See? In other words, would you like this boat? No, I wouldn't. You want to go boating. You would love to be able to have that boat, but not with a hole in the bottom. And you don't have to say, oh, yes, I would. But if it has a hole in the bottom, you can say, no, I don't want that boat. You don't, because it's got a hole in the bottom. Under different circumstances, you'd want the boat. Or you can say, oh, thank you, but I've had enough calories today, if you have. You don't have to say, oh, I do want more pie, but I'm afraid there isn't enough for everybody. I must tell the truth. Because that way, then, they won't take no for an answer, and they all of a sudden, they nobody else wants it, and it's left over, and everybody's leaving it, and you're going to get it. See? We do not owe the enemy truth. Very clearly, God deceived enemies. Absolutely and clearly. Time after time, he deceived them. He made the noise of the, like wheels of chariots in the treetops to deceive them and make them think that the Egyptians had been hired to work with the Syrians against Samaria. When it was besieged, and they all fled. As a matter of fact, God even had Israel deceive. In fact, he told them, they went up to Ai, how to deceive them and make them think they didn't have very many people when they had more people and the rest were hiding. As a matter of fact, God commended Rahab who told a falsehood. She said that she did not see the spies when she had. Now, you say, well, how can God do this? How come? Why is this? In fact, even Jesus deceived. The Bible says he made as though he would go further rather than turning into the house of Peter at Capernaum. Instead of just saying, you know, they lived from hand to mouth in those days. Instead of just walking in and sitting down and being presumptuous, he, when the path came, turned this way, why, he made as though he was going to keep on going. And he knew he wasn't. But he knew what they were going to do. But he waited until they invited him. And it wasn't a deception. I mean, it was a deception. But it was not a deception to hurt, but to help. There is a difference. Because God, when God says, thou shalt not lie, what he's really talking about is really a moral law to keep from hurting people and taking unfair advantage for yourself and taking advantage over other people. But an enemy code, they'll send out false reports. That's lying. When the United States was invading Normandy Beach, they took a dead sailor, typed a note, secret note, as a courier would take, and sewed it in his pocket with thin thread. And they dumped him out of a submarine in the English Channel. And the Germans picked him up from the patrol boats, and they checked everything, and they checked his pocket and was sewed, and so they, well, suspicious, they cut it open and found the note. And in that was information that they were going to land someplace north of Normandy. And the whole idea was to deceive them. That's legitimate in war. They do not owe them the truth. We are going to land at Normandy on a precise day. You do not owe them. Because they, in the first place, started the war and were doing unethically, and you don't owe them for the good of the world, the free world, and the German people, as well as all Europe, Hitler needed to be stopped with his armies and to save and bring integrity back to the nation and cause things to live right. And so there is that difference. But you must always make sure your motives are to do good to people. Now, customers in the world, friends in the world, and your government is not your enemy because you're a Christian. Generally, they're not acting as your enemy. I mean, you can't just say, well, they're unsaved and therefore they're my enemy. That's not true. That's not right. They're not your enemy. Now, let's suppose that you're a hairstylist. And let's suppose a man walks in with long, long hair and he wants a female-style haircut. Now, that's, first of all, this is one of the risks of that occupation. Number two, it's not wrong on a scriptural grounds to give him that lousy haircut he wants. Because the scripture sets the precedent. And so that's the same reason it's not wrong for you to serve liquor if you're a waitress or sell cigarettes if you're a store clerk. Because God forbid Israel from eating pork. But God said you may sell the pork to an alien or a stranger that's within thy gates, but not unto thy brethren. You are a holy people, and I don't want you eating it. It is unclean to you. But since they are going to buy it anyway, since they're not going to follow my law anyway, since somebody's going to sell it to them anyway, and you have any pork, sell it to them. You haven't hurt them. They're going to get it from somebody anyway. He's allowed you to do that. But if it's an affront to you to work in a hill like that, and it would be to me, and I wouldn't think of it, if it's an affront to you to do that, then you say something like, you see, if it's an affront to you, that means you haven't been doing it. And you just say something like, well, I think it'd be better you'd go somewhere else for that hairstyle. I don't do that kind of hairstyle. And they don't want you doing that. You don't do that kind. I've never done that kind before. That'll send them someplace else. I don't do that kind of hairstyle. So forth. But don't lie. And lastly, I want to say, in the line of integrity, pay your bills. When you contract for a bill, you contract to pay it in a certain length of time. That's your responsibility to get paid. You can't afford to take vacations, run all over the country and buy dinners for people and then not pay your bill. That is lack of integrity. Just because they won't put you in jail for a season and foreclose for a season and give you grace on what you have failed to do because of lack of integrity is no excuse. And if you find yourself out of a job and you're contracted on the basis that you'd have a job and now you've got no job, then two things. You are obligated to see how fast you can get a job to pay them back. You can't lay around on vacation for 3 or 4 months and all of that just because you can get by on the unemployment and not pay your bills. Say, well, I can get by, I can't pay them. No, my friend, you pay them, then you get by. You owe them. It's lack of integrity to be taking that money out of big government, everybody else's pocket, because you can live on that amount when you're not looking for a job. That was provided for people until they could find another job, not instead of finding another job. Lack of integrity. If you practice lack of integrity, it will invade all areas of your life. And lack of integrity is a very serious crime, very serious problem. If you cannot pay a bill, you are obligated to write that person, let them know your circumstances, and that you intend to pay as soon as possible. Send them something, even if it's a dollar, send them something, and say, I know a dollar doesn't do anything today, but this is just a token to show you that I do mean business. I'm going to endeavor, as soon as I get a job again, I will send you something every month. Even if it's $2 or $5, I'll send you something. I know this is not a legitimate payment, but it lets you know I have not forgotten. I will not. And if you can pay nothing, you send them a letter and say, I cannot pay you again this month. I'm terribly sorry. I tried to scrape it out. I'm doing this. I'm having garage jobs. I'm doing everything possible to live and this. But you make sure then that you're not squandering money and buying things. You cannot afford to go out and buy dinners at restaurants and have lots of fun and do other things if you owe bills. You do things right or you are wrong before God. And the Bible tells you that. And it says not to be slothful in business. And it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and learn. He's busy, busy, busy. Quit laying around. And Paul said that I have commanded that if they not eat, that they work, that they not eat. Don't have lack of integrity. And debts to your brothers in the church. Do not say, well, they're my brother in Christ. It's okay. It's not okay. You owe them as much as if it were the bank downtown. And when you make agreement with somebody, you stick to that agreement. And don't let somebody fix your car and then don't pay him and don't pay him or something. You owe him, you do with him like with anyone else. And I close with a scripture in Proverbs 41:12. How many think I'm too hard on you? There isn't any Proverbs 41:12. It must have been a good scripture. I have no idea what it is now, but I'll tell you one thing. It's about integrity. And we'll close the session right now, and I think I need to... Oh. Volunteers are needed each day of camp meeting and the Wednesday after to help our staff janitors clean...